you know, once in a while we sneak around and sneak into other studios around, you know, sometimes up in Chicago, sometimes back in L.A., stuff like that. So we thought we'd play this little bit for you that was played around with by William Shatner. How about that?
Really goes on a while too. That's what's great about it. It's just
this is not a quick one, huh?
No.
This is William Shatner, and I would like to invite you to take a journey with me into the 21st century. So take the next few minutes and listen very closely. You'll be amazed at what you hear. Okay?
Can there be a little more excitement in the beginning?
I love it. Okay. All right.
It sounded like really laid, you know, really super laid back.
Well, I'm saying, okay, I'll try and do that. Let's do take two. This is William Shatner, and I would like to invite you to take a journey with me into the 21st century. So take the next few minutes and listen very closely.
Speak up,
and maybe you better do it the way you hear it. Do it for me. No, I mean just go ahead.
This is William Shatner, and I would like to invite you to take a journey with me into the 21st century. So take the next few minutes and listen very closely. You'll be amazed at what you hear.
Is that the way you'd like me to do it? Okay, I'll do it that way. Okay, ready. This is William Shatner, and I would like to invite you to take a journey with me into the 21st century. So take the next few minutes and listen very closely. You'll be amazed at what you hear. Okay, so I think that came pretty close.
Are you making fun of me?
No, I'm doing. I believe that you asked if that was about the way you did it. I wasn't jesting.
Okay. I'm sorry. I don't know.
Maybe. No. I insist. Now, what I want you to do is on. Is that satisfactory to you?
No. Maybe I should have just kept my mouth shut.
No, because if your mouth were open, you'd have popped some pills in them. So, do the next paragraph for me, so I can get an idea of how you want it. This is page two.
Well, I don't know. I really don't want to, because I think you actually have much better feeling.
No, I don't think I do. I would like to hear you read the second paragraph, so I can do it that way. Let me hear.
Now that I've looked at the different things you did, I really like the first one.
But... No, I like it better the way you did it. I insist that you show me how to do page two. I mean it. Please, read so I can get an idea of what you want. No, I'm going to do it the way you think it should go. No, I am going to do it the way you're reading it. Okay? I know you're here to see that I do it the way the company wants it, so I'm going to do it the way you read it.
But I don't want you to do it.
But you're telling me how you want me to do it.
Well, I'm sorry.
No. I am going to do it your way. No, there's no apology necessary. You know what you want. You know what you want.
No, I don't. I mean, I really
don't. I mean, you come in here and you don't know what you want?
Well, I come in here because I know you're a professional. I mean, and you know how to do it. And I'm sorry I even said anything.
No, I am going to do it the way you want. Every paragraph. And you'll send it back to town and you'll see whether, you know. I hope it will please everybody else. As long as I'm pleasing you, that's all that matters.
Mr. Shatner, would you please, I don't feel right about doing it, really.
Well, no, you felt you wanted something done on the first paragraph. I'm trying to do what you want. Okay, let's lay down the second paragraph.
Wow.
Walking in your sleep, or were you just too tired to notice all the what? cameras saw it all. How the soon you knew this habit and your random empty patterns, and I learned you're not a nice guy. And you're full of this deception is your secret silent weapon that you bold is awful and dice. This little birdie told me who was talking to a fly. Nobody's looking, I'm the eye that passes by you. When you think nobody's listening, I'm the listener, I'm the resistor.
Well, boys and girls, I'm back in the saddle again after a little interruption there yesterday. Tried to get too many things done in one day. And I hope everybody got my little notice that there wouldn't be a show yesterday, because I put one out, but yet I got two or three people said, well, I didn't get the show. What happened? Well, always check your email, because if there's not going to be a show, I'm going to tell you. Or if I'm not going to tell you, then She-Wolf Southern California will tell you, the webmaster. That's right. We got half our project done here in the bunker, but we still have to get some more equipment here that's coming in here. But I thought it was going to be in yesterday, but they said 5 days. That's 3 days ago, I guess. So anyhow, we're gradually getting things around here. And it is it is July the 17th, 2014, yeah, July the 17th, yeah, Doors Day, yeah, beautiful day out there today, didn't look like rain on and off all day yesterday, but we didn't get too much, a little bit, but it looks like today, if Thor's happy and Odin's happier, we're probably not going to get any rain. The sun's shining. I had to replant some of my tomato plants. I tried to put them on in the patio in buckets. And if you got holes in the bottom, you think you got to have them, but the moisture, the water drains out too fast, and all of a sudden your tomatoes are dying. So I had to transplant my maters this morning. Yeah. How'd you like that William Shatner guy, man? He'd get a little pissed off in that studio, and I know how he feels when I get the... Well, wait a minute. I don't have a producer. That's right. I don't have an engineer either to give me hell. I just do it and send it, and that's it. You know what pisses me off? It's schizophrenia of the white race. I mean, sit down and think about it. Think about the blacks. They wanted to make money off the blacks, so they went over there to Africa and traded some rum. Got some blacks, brought them over here, and they pinned them up in the plantation, and half the time they were kicking their ass, and half the time they weren't. And they let them have churches so they could learn the slave religion of Christianity. But, you know, then you have half the country saying, we gotta let those black people free. And then you got half the people say, we gotta keep them pinned up. Then we got part of the people saying, well, we ought to kick their ass and send it back to Africa. But there never was enough of those people around. In their schizophrenia, they'd rather fight each other in a civil war than to admit they're wrong. And the North knew a lot more about blacks than they let on. And the South knew a lot about them, but... as long as they were making them money, they were okay. And then the Indians, that drives me crazy. They're not Indians anyhow, they're Mongoloids. And remember, Christopher Columbus never touched continental North America. He didn't discover America. He discovered some islands in the Caribbean. But then he took several of them and took them back to Spain and... I don't know what happened to him back there, but anyhow, this schizophrenic thing with the Mongols drives me crazy. Yeah, because, you know, the Mongols, if they ever had their act together, they'd have kicked our asses right out of here. We never would have got a toehold. Because they got schizophrenia, too, is that their problem. Right in the very beginning, they're selling out to fight for the French against the English in the French and Indian Wars. They were selling out all the time to fight on the side of the white man. And then they're bitching and still complaining about what the white man did to them. If the Indians would have used Indian tactics, Mongol tactics, and all these people that were coming in to the East Coast, the first ones especially, with those blunderbuss guns, weren't worth a shit. They took you half an hour to load one. Hell, and the Indians could have cut all their heads off in no time using guerrilla tactics with just knives and tomahawks and arrows. But they had a schizophrenic policy, too. Some of the Indians said, oh, yeah, the white guy's okay. And the other says, bullshit, I want to kill him. And then out west, whitey's moving west and building houses and things and cabins. And he's when he can, he gets next to these Indians. He wants to civilize them. They even used to call certain tribes the civilized nations. In other words, they dress like white people, go to white church, worship the baby Jesus, and use the country's money and so forth like that. That's civilized. Well, I think the Indians are better off the way they were. And I agree with them about that. So here's Whitey. He's defending himself from marauding Mongols part of the time. Part of the time he's trying to make Christians out of them. So half the country wants to kill them all off or drive them into Canada or Mexico. And the other half wants to civilize them, force them to take on regular British-style Christian names, dress like Christians, go to Christian school, and all like that. Force them. Now, we're just the opposite. Our type mentality, we would like to lead, we would have left the Mongols the way they were. We wouldn't have been schizophrenic about it. But that's the way it goes. Same way with the Chinese. When they brought them in here, the big shots, the capitalists, to work on the railroads. And then the preachers couldn't wait to convert them to Christianity, to worship the baby Jesus, and take on and walk around in suits and so forth in San Francisco like the lot man. So you get my point here? We got nobody to blame but ourselves. Ever since the beginning, instead of staying white and tribal and keeping separate from other races and letting them go on the way they go on, dress the way they want to dress, worship however they want to worship, it would have been fine. But no. Oh, man, it's enough to gag a maggot, baby. And then for those of you that sit around with your finger up your nose or in your ear trying to figure out what the hell went wrong or what else went wrong, well, hell, the minute you can get those kids out of the house in school, they start becoming what you don't want. The whole education system is primarily anti-white and pro-ruling class, no matter what color the class ruling class is. So far, it's been mostly white. So when the kid leaves the house and he's only, 4 years old and goes to preschool, got to get him out of there early, they haven't learned hardly anything about their race. In fact, most have heard nothing about their race, other than it's bad and guilty. So they go off to school and get anti-white crap pumped into them all day long. Then they go to college and get anti-white crap especially anti-working class, crap pounded into them all day long. When they got time off, they're watching television that's pounding non-white crap in them all day long. And have you noticed how the mulattoes, like I predicted a long time ago, the mulattoes have taken over? Yeah, in all the movies now, you may have a white leading man, but he's got a mulatto co-star. Because just like the Negro, or just like they did to the Negroes off North Africa when the Jews developed that strain of Jews that were non-white, Negroid type, to betray their supposed racial brothers over on the continent. As far as I'm concerned, the Jews and their compadres were way ahead of time when they developed this mulatto race. It's no accident. It's no accident. They got the... you don't have to worry about most of the time a guy, white guy, going out with some liver-lipped ubangi with a big ass, unless he's totally nuts. But now they'll give you a coffee-colored mulatto woman that you can worship. Yeah, you see that in all your ads now, and just about all your TV shows. That just sort of slid in on us in the last 20 years, even though there were mulattoes around for a long time before that. But now it's major. This production of mulatto women has become an advanced production system. They're turning them out like mad. And guess what's going to happen? Still more dumbass white guys are going to say, "Oh, she is pretty cute. She just a little coffee colored there, but otherwise she got." They're not going to say it, but they're going to know she got quite a bit of white in her. I guess I'll bed down with that, babe. Yeah. Well, those are the things we got to go through, and we'll survive it, and we'll come back with a meat axe and change it. Sooner or later. But it's going to be, I think, about three generations till the white barbarian comes roaring back. Yeah, I'm that optimistic. I believe that. It's not going to be any pussified whites like we got around today. Even people like myself will be considered pretty pussy passive to the kind that are going to come back. I mean, the toughest and roughest of us are going to be looked at as being, well, you know. But I think it'll take about three generations. And then there's going to be hell to pay, baby. Because then what's going to happen, I think, not only the wolves are coming back, but the big cat whites. The cool cat whites. The ones that'll tear your throat out with one bite. Well, you know what's funny about the whole thing down on the border? Well, you know, there's a little strip down there on the river that no illegal aliens ever cross it. Totally clean. You know why? The cartels own that part of the river, to where they can have easy crossing with their drugs. And all the illegal aliens know to stay out of there. I'm not sure how far it goes up and down the river. Not too far, because they don't need a hell of a lot of room. And then you go down there and you wonder why all these Central American kids are coming up and how they're getting through Mexico. Mexico's got to, normally, very tight immigration laws. Well, that's simple too. The cartels want it. Flooding that border with these young Central Americans has taken up all the energy of the U.S. Border Patrol babysitting these people. So they're not down on the border picking up people. I mean, picking up the right people. And then if you want to go down even farther to the headwaters of the problem, like I told you before, you see, these Central American countries, many of the problems they have internally are created by American capitalists. Yeah. And hell, all of a sudden things go to hell in the country and people flee the country. And then when American-trained troops come in, like they did in Honduras, and chase the people off the land and everything else, then everybody starts running. And they say, well, they Norte, Norte. They point them north. So the same corporations that we're bitching about here, and like that, that are wanting cheap labor, are the same ones behind the militarized military down in Central America that's causing all kinds of problems, working and, of course, doing the job for the corporations. Just like Smedley Butler, war is a racket. And that's the way they set it up. And they go on the TV and the radio. Oh, I can't understand this. What are we going to do? This is a crisis. It's a crisis on the border. Well, if we weren't fucking around down there in their country so much, I mean, not us, but the predatory capitalists and those boys in the military, on a pretext of shutting down the drug traffic. You know how to shut down the cartels, don't you? Of course you do. One in the head, one in the heart. Period. You got to play the game the way they play the game. Now they're uncovering mass graves all over Mexico, especially northern Mexico. Mass graves of cartel. A cartel can be taken care of. That's no problem. You kill them. You kill every last one of them. Hang them from the trees like Pancho Villa used to do in the revolution. You can call them death squads if you want. Unfortunately, they've been used more for the corporations than other forms of execution. But I think the working class on our side needs some death squads. You got trouble? You got trouble with the cartels? Okay. We got some guys here that have done everything in a book in the American military over in Iraq. I don't see why they can't do it here. Can't do it on the Mexican border. And the Mexican government gives us any trouble, we'll have to take it over like we did the time before. Paid off their bills and gave it back to them. Only this time maybe we won't give it back to them because maybe we don't need a border because we need to have an open border to shove all these people back into Mexico. Yeah, I don't want to seal the border now because how are we going to get them all back in there? You know, it's too late to seal the border. And everything's all bullshit about what they talk about on the border. Believe me, if it interferes with making money, they're not going to do it. That's right. Most of these things are very simple to figure out. Just follow the money. I keep telling everybody, follow the money, and you'll find out who is screwing up the situation. And then you take care of the people who are screwing up the situation. I mean, I don't think they had to explain that to Attila the Hun, or what was that other badass over there? I think he was the one who had the story that a virgin, could go from one end of his empire to the other, naked, and not be molested. Yeah, he knew how to handle things. Now, the Romans did, too, until they got Christianity all mixed up into it. And then things went to hell real fast. But the early Roman Empire, they didn't seem to have a problem keeping things under control. The history of that Appian Way, that freeway into Rome, where they used to hang these people that they didn't like up on poles along that Appian Way every so many feet, and just hang them up there and let them dry out in the sun, man. They took care of business. But when they stopped taking care of business, everything went to hell. And we stopped taking care of the people's business a long time ago. Actually, not too long after the country was created, we were taking care of everybody else's business, the ruling class business, instead of rising up and taking care of our own business. Now everybody's waiting for somebody else to rise up. Yeah. Well, yeah, I want to rise up, but hell, man. Well, I just got notice to where my equipment changeover for the new server will be on the 23rd. So I may be off on the 23rd. Probably will be. But until then, we're going to ride high just the way we're doing it right now. How about that? I got an email there from another guy that didn't get my notice that there wouldn't be any show yesterday. I don't know what went wrong there. I had the best intentions. Sorry. Well, it looks like a Swedish court is going to rule on lifting Julian Assange's arrest warrant. The Swedish court will hold a public hearing to decide whether to lift the arrest warrant on Julian Assange that has kept the WikiLeaks founder holed up in Ecuador's embassy in London to avoid extradition over allegations of rape and sexual molestation. Assange sought refuge in the embassy in Britain in June 2012 after exhausting all legal options in British courts to avoid being extradited to Sweden. The legal challenge to the prosecutor was issued last month after a change to Swedish criminal procedures that brought them in line with an EU directive on the right to information in criminal proceedings. The challenge also coincided with the second anniversary of Assange's seeking refuge in the Ecuadorian embassy. So, I guess maybe you can trust him. I wouldn't trust him, but maybe he'll get out of the Ecuadorian embassy. I don't know. I don't think I'd want to be hemmed up in the Ecuadorian embassy in London. And not even London. I see by European news last night that the World Court finds the Netherlands liable. No, it was the Netherlands court. Found them liable for 300 deaths in the Srebrenica massacre. A court in the Netherlands ruled yesterday that the country's government was partly liable for the deaths of 300 Bosnian Muslims whom Dutch peacekeepers failed to protect in 1995. But the Associated Press notes that the court decision clears the government of liability in the deaths of thousands of others who were killed in Srebrenica. Relatives of the dead welcomed the limited finding of liability, but lamented that it did not go much farther. The court did not specify how much compensation the families of the 300 victims should receive, probably $29.95. No ups, no downs, no extras. Yeah, I'm beginning to regret that during those years I tended to support the Serbs because they were messing with the Islamics. But I think that's a trap. The Islamics were, most of them that I saw were certainly as white as the Serbs, but they were just different religions. And for us to get involved with the entanglements between two religions, I think is a mistake. And we just shouldn't side with anybody on the basis of religion. I know I'm not going to do it anymore. I did it there, but there was a tremendous amount of white people that just happened to be Muslim were killed and murdered. And I don't think we can play that game. We shouldn't play that game. Now here's a report that's a little bit of a joke, because Mexico restricts soft drink TV ads to fight obesity. Well, they should just outlaw soft drinks, period. But I don't see how that's going to stop people getting fat in Mexico with the diet they eat. Well, all that corn and tortillas and burritos and all that fattening shit. Mexico is restricting television advertising for the high-calorie food and soft drinks as part of its campaign against obesity, the government says. Well, we need to do that in this country too, but there's too much money being made over fast food and soft drinks. I grit my teeth every time I happen to be in a shopping center or even a regular grocery store at these carts being pushed out of the place full of soft drinks. Just cases and cases of that shit. It's the government, you know, that's killing more people in this country, along with what cigarettes did, than any of the wars. Any of the wars at all. I mean, incidentally, cigarette smoking, they figure now, is killing 1 million people a year in China. So I guess the capitalists have finally figured on a pretty good plan to limit population by pushing cigarettes. Well, I guess if people like to smoke, that's one way to go. I mean, you know, puff, 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 smoke that cigarette. But you're not going to get those Mexicans thin by just knocking off or encouraging them not to drink soft drinks. I'm sorry. Anybody that has any knowledge of the diet in Mexico knows, in fact, the diet of the Mexicans and whites in Southern California. Now, as times get rougher and jobs get less and people are more and more homeless, more cities are passing laws that make it illegal to camp in public, sleep in vehicles on city streets, or sit or lie down in public, a new report shows. Now, this is a ruling class set of rules and laws. The laws are meant to curb the problems associated with homelessness. Well, if you'd have put all those bankers in prison and taken all the money they ripped off from the middle class and so forth in 2008, you wouldn't have this problem. Or if you wouldn't be sending these guys over to these Iraqi and Afghan wars, getting all screwed up and getting on drugs, getting PTSD, you wouldn't have these problems. But they blame it on the people. But the report released Wednesday by the National Law Center on Homelessness and Poverty says the law criminalizes people just for being homeless. Of course it does. Maria Foscanerinas, the center's executive director, says there has been a striking increase in city laws prohibiting camping on any park, sidewalk, or public space. Well, just like with disabled veterans, they don't want to look at them. They want to shove them in a crummy old dirty hospital someplace. They have a parade when they come back, and everybody, all the old farts, put on their uniforms and medals. But the people who really get hurt in these wars, they don't give a shit about them. Well, I guess you know, we're looking into the fishbowl from the outside. I comment on this stuff, not because I'm going to get anything done about it, because it's just gone too far. The only thing that's going to maybe someday be done is civil war, or revolution, or both, because you know what's going on, I know what's going on, but you know we, the 1%, or maybe the 1% of 1%, don't have the power to change it. You go out and want to assassinate somebody, well, good luck. And then you're not going to get somebody that's going to make that much difference, no matter how high up they are. Except maybe into the very tippy-toppy of the ruling class. Maybe. But that's not going to happen. That takes too much work for the average person, and they're too well protected and so forth, too much security, and they got the U.S. Army to protect them, the U.S. Marine Corps, Navy, Air Force, and the whole bit. You saw what happened to Bob Matthews on Whidbey Island. Not only did they surround the perimeter of where he was at with about 500 agents, FBI, ATF, you name it, But they had the Navy out on the coast in the water there, in the channel, all ready to go. They had the Air Force ready to go. And that was just for one guy. Just for one man. And NASA says they're close to finding alien life. Well, I see it every day. It goes by my house. Alien life. Went to the county fair. It was full of alien life. They've even learned how to speak partial English, these aliens from wherever. Yeah, they're all over the place. NASA just found out they say they're close to finding alien life. Well, I found alien life for decades. It's all over the place. Well, the top UN human rights official suggested on Wednesday the United States should abandon its efforts to prosecute Edward Snowden. I agree, saying his revelations of mass state surveillance had been in the public interest. He's a hero. UN High Commissioner for Human Rights. I hate those words, human and rights. They don't mean them. If they mean anything, they don't mean much. Her name is Navi Pillay. Credited Snowden, a former U.S. National Security Agency contractor, with opening a global debate which has led to the calls for curtailing the state powers to snoop on citizens online and store their data. Well, who's going to make them stop? Who's going to close down that NSA building up there in Washington? Yeah, who's going to close it down? They're not going to close it down. They're not going to change things. The fix is in. The horse is out of the barn. It's all over. It's going to get worse. Just like the futuristic movie shows, fiction shows, show you about the future of America and the future of the world. Well, signs of the time, a treasure house of Yiddish is preparing to close. The Congress for Jewish Culture, founded in 1948 by a group of Yiddish writers and intellectuals to promote the language and culture, is shutting its Manhattan office. You wonder why? Well, probably because more and more Jews are becoming more non-white. And Yiddish-speaking Jews were primarily Germany and Eastern Europe. And their birth rate is down. And so now you're going to see things becoming, as in Israel, to where you can't hardly tell the Jews from the surrounding non-Jews as far as race is concerned. And so, bye-bye Yiddish. Well, here we go back to Wackosville. They're talking about here the building of the Noah's Ark for the movie about Noah. And they're going to roll around in insanity for a while. And I'll play this because it's tongue-in-cheek. Not by the people who put it out, because they're deadly serious about Noah's Ark that held two of everything. Even the dinosaurs. And weren't they about 20,000 tons or something?
That we wanted to convey the Ark was really built in haste. We took the Bible at its word for its dimensions, which was a height, a length, and a width. Didn't give any indication of a design. And so we assumed, or we made the assumption, that all that space would be maximized and that Noah was really building a shipping container, a way to store these animals to weather a storm, rather than a ship with a keel that looks like it's headed to a destination. And all Noah has really been instructed to do is build this thing and wait it out. Lastly, I think what we both wanted, Darren and I both wanted the Ark to be, is a sort of brutalist structure, something that was not made to be admired, something that was not built in honor of anything except the survival of what was in it.
I don't think New York's ever seen a set like that, let alone an outdoor set like that. Drive on the LIE and you'd get off in Oyster Bay and you'd show up on set and you just entered another world.
Wow, man. Whoa.
buy a copy of the film for $99.95 right now. Yeah, and see Noah put all those animals in the world in that box, which they built it like a shipping container. Well, on Monday, another Christ Insanity preacher did a number on himself. 79-year-old, whoa, let me get the microphone here. 79-year-old Charles Moore, a retired fanatic United Methodist minister, drove to Grand Saline, Texas, his childhood hometown some 70 miles east of Dallas. He pulled into a strip mall parking lot, knelt down on a small piece of foam, and doused himself with gasoline. What happened? Then witnesses said he set himself on fire. Bystanders rushed to help, splashed him with bottled water, beating the blaze with shirts. Finally, someone found a fire extinguisher. Unconscious, he was flown to Parkland Hospital in Dallas, where JFK died. Moore died that night, June the 23rd. Moore's death seems to be a mystery. He put a note in his car and left behind letters explaining his act. Said a former colleague and relative by marriage, the Reverend Bill Renfro, but his writings were not released for nearly a week. His thoughts are now becoming public. The Tyler Morning Telegraph contained a copy of the suicide note from Grand Saline Police. In it, Moore lamented past racism in Grand Saline and beyond. Well, at least we got rid of a race mixer there. A Christian fanatic, Christ Insanity, all in one bunch. He called on the community to repent and said he was giving my body to be burned with love in my heart for those who were lynched in his hometown, as well as for those who did the lynching, hoping to address lingering racism. His letters, obtained by the Washington Post, he called his death an act of protest. He was protesting being alive. He said he felt that after a lifetime of fighting for race mixing and so-called social justice, whatever that means, he needed to do more. Quote, I would much prefer to go on living and enjoying my beloved wife and grandchildren and others, he wrote. But I have come to believe that only my self-immolation will get the attention of anybody and perhaps inspire some higher service. Well, it was, I don't think there was many people read about it. So what? Those who knew him called it tragedy. Quote, it would have been nice to have had some sort of counseling, somebody to point out that his life had mattered, that he hadn't failed, unquote, Renfro told the United Methodist News Service. Quote, he had done plenty, unquote. Moore had gone on a 2-week hunger strike in the 1990s. To move the United Methodist Church to remove discriminatory language against homosexuals while working with the Texas Coalition to abolish the death penalty. He stood vigil in front of the George W. Bush's governor's mansion to protest more than 100 executions. He served in the slums of India, Africa, and the Middle East, which fucked up his brain. Moore had a conviction that if the Bible stood for anything, it stood for radical inclusiveness and race mixing. The Reverend Sid Hall, a former colleague, told the Dallas Morning News, quote, if you ever were on the side of the powerlessness, if you were ever on the margins yourself and were looking for someone to help you, Charlie boy, he was the guy to see. But for Moore, it wasn't enough. Quote, I have no significant achievements to offer from that period so that my influence on contemporary issues might have a significant impact. In other words, everything you did was a bunch of bullshit. He wrote, so I am laying down my life here today in order to call attention to the issue of great human concern. Unquote. He seemed particularly disturbed by capital punishment, racial discrimination, Tom Metzger, prejudice against the LGBT community. Since his death, some news accounts described him as a man who seemed troubled. No, he couldn't have been troubled. A little nuts? Oh, no. One asked if he was a madman or a martyr, but more seemed to anticipate the response. I'll be a bad man. Quote, there is one thing I have absolute control over, and that is the manner of my death, unquote, he wrote. History will decide whether my offering is worthy. And I don't think that history is going to last very long. Not much longer than that scorch mark on the concrete where you burnt yourself up. Moore explained that his death was not an impulsive act, but one which he had been given great thought. Renfro told the Post that Moore left behind a copy of the New Yorker article entitled A Flame. It was about the Tibetan Buddhist monks' protest of China's domination of Tibet. They too set themselves on fire. And they really changed things, didn't they? Did China change? Hell no. Did George Bush change? Hell no. Quote, I'm not sure an act like that is as meaningful to other people as he thought it would be, Renfro said. I think he became convinced it was an act that would essential to get the word out. I wish I could have talked him out of it. I just accept what he did and his reasons, and hopefully they will have meaning and effective change. Moore grew up in Great Saline, a town he said dripped with racial discrimination, a town the Ku Klux Klan called home. In his letter, he seemed haunted by the past. When I was about 10 years old, some friends and I were walking down the road towards the creek to catch some fish when a man called Uncle Billy stopped us and called us into his home for a drink of water. But his real purpose was to cheerily tell us about helping to kill niggers and to put their heads on a pole. A section of the Grand Saline was, maybe still is, called Pole Town, where the heads were displayed. It was years later before I knew what the name meant. It was a type of racial discrimination that Moore said haunted him. I will soon be 80 years old and my heart is broken over this, he wrote. America and Grand Saline prominently have never really repented for the atrocities of slavery and its aftermath. What my hometown needs to do is open its heart and it's opened its doors to black people. Mix it up, baby. As a sign of rejection of past sins, so at this late date, I have decided to join them by giving my body to be burned. With love in my heart, not only for them, but also for the perpetrators of such horror. Seems like you're perpetrating a little horror yourself. Angie McPherson, who witnessed the self-immolation, told the Telegraph, she's lived in the town all her life and she knew there was still a racial divide. It's terrible. There are some homes that don't even have a nigger in them. It's not as big as it used to be, but it is here. It is everywhere, she told the newspaper as she put the matches and the gasoline in her car. Oh, no, no. The town police chief, Larry Compton, scratched his head and told the Telegraph that the preacher's death disturbed him in many ways. Could have started a forest fire. Grand Saline might have been that way in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, like a lot of places, but today we're a community of different ethnicities, and we're all racially mixed up. We're really, well, we're not screwed up. It's great. Moore of Allen, Texas, had a degree from Southern Methodist University from the Perkins School of Theology at SMU, Southern Methodist University. Well, there's a big con job. Getting all his money to teach him something that never happened. He served as a minister for half a century, and when he retired, he received awards from parents and friends of lesbians and gays and the Texas Coalition to Abolish the Death Penalty for Black People. According to a biography provided by his family. Well, there you go. I think that it's only right that anybody who feels the way he did should do the same thing. Because only then will the baby Jesus straighten things out. So we need thousands of people dousing themselves with gasoline and checking out, baby. Come on. If you love the baby Jesus, you'll do it. Now, the Jews, they're a lot more clever about it, sneaky. They don't offer themselves up to emulate themselves. They emulate the Palestinians and dedicate it to their big heap guy in the sky. So they're pretty clever, those guys. Well, here's another way to solve the problem. A lawsuit brought by a Sudanese Muslim father against a Christian woman, Miriam Yahya Ibrahim, to formally establish her as his Muslim daughter, was dropped on Wednesday. A move that could allow her to depart for guess where? The United States. Come on, baby. Oh, yeah, and more good news. She got a baby. Yeah. Well, more out of the religious file, a new Pew Research survey finds U.S. adults feel more warmly about people who share their religion or those they know as family, friends, or co-workers. Surprise, surprise. Can't believe it. Americans give their highest scores to Jews, Catholics, and evangelicals on a 0 to 100 thermometer featured in the survey, How Americans Feel About Religious Groups, released Wednesday. They're nestled within a few degrees of each other. Jews, 63, Catholics, 62, evangelicals, 61. In the middle of the chart, Buddhists, 53, Hindus, 50, Mormons, 48, trending to the chilly negative zone, atheists at 41 and Muslims at 40. Gee, there's somebody lower than a filthy, dirty atheist. No, I'm pretty clean, actually. Pew took the thermal reading because understanding the question of how religious groups view each other is valuable in a country where religion plays an important role of controlling public life, said Greg Smith, Pew's associate director of religion research. Jews, one of the nation's smallest religious cults, benefits from cultural, theological, and historic ties with Christians. Why don't you just say it? They run Christianity. They created Christianity, gaining what might be called a friends and family ratings boost. I don't see many Jews running around here, and I don't see many Christians walking around with them. Meanwhile, America's largest religious groups, Catholics and Protestants, benefit from self-regard. Pew found, perhaps unsurprisingly, that people rate their own groups higher than others. Oh, shock, shock. Still, the group's overall average scores are pulled down by those who don't share these faiths. Catholics give themselves an 80 score, while non-Catholics give them a 58. Evangelical Christians score 79 with people who call themselves born again or evangelical, but only 52 with others. People are somewhat polarized about evangelicals, Smith said. The survey finds roughly as many people give evangelicals a cold rating, 27%, as give them a warm rating, 30%. Wow. I think it speaks to evangelicals' prominence in American life. Lots of people know something about them, he said. And according to the survey, some don't like what they know. White evangelicals, that's white ones, give their highest warmth score to the Jews. See that? You can depend on your local evangelical to be pro-Jew, big time. Their number was 69. However, all that warmth is not reciprocated. Whoa, Jews gave evangelicals an overall much cooler score of 34. Well, the Christians love the Jews, but the Jews don't love the Christians. Well, when you tell the Jews that as long as they accept the Lord Jesus Christ, the baby Jesus, they'll be okay at the end. But if they don't, they're going to burn in a lake of fire. What do you expect, the Jews? White evangelicals are leery of other non-Christians and downright chilly towards non-believers. See? They'll be coming after me, man, with a pitchfork. They rank Buddhists at 39, Hindus at 38, and atheists draw 25. The lowest score of any group. Gee, I was getting ready to run for president as an atheist racist. I thought I'd have a good chance. And the feeling is mutual, Smith said. Atheists gave evangelicals overall a rating of 28. Well, I'd give them a rating of 0. Although atheists overall are cold to Christians, they're not uniformly cold to all religious groups, said Smith. Buddhists get 69, Jews get 61, and Hindus get 58. Among the major findings, wow. We like people we know. People who say they personally know someone of another group rated them 10 to 20 points higher. That gap is widest for atheists, falling from a 50 rating by people who know an atheist to 29 by those who say they don't. Buddhist rating falls from 70 to 48. Wow. Christian groups and Jews receive higher ratings from Americans age 65 and older, a group that identifies overwhelmingly 85% as Christian, according to Pew. But adults under the age of 30, with fewer self-identified Christians, 59%, give their highest ratings to non-Christians. Race matters too. How about that? Muslims receive a neutral rating from blacks, 49 on the average, but Muslims are rated more coldly by whites, 38. Although most blacks describe themselves as born again or evangelical Christians, 23% of Muslims in the U.S. are black, according to a Pew survey of Muslim Americans from 2011. And 57% of blacks say they know someone who is Muslim. Among whites, that figures it 34%. Wow. You haven't gone to sleep yet, have you? Wake up. Party affiliation is another marker for similarity. People like people whose religion aligns with their politics. See what I mean? Republican, Christians, evangelicals. For example, the average rating Democrats give to evangelicals, a heavily Republican group, is 53, while Republicans give them a tropical 71. The survey was conducted between May 30th and June 30th with a nationally represented panel of 3,217 randomly selected adults. 2,849 people answered the survey, and so on and so on and so on. Let's see. Ah, it goes on. There's two or three paragraphs more, but that's enough. Anyhow, it doesn't mean shit, because if wars break out in a country, civil wars or anything like that, usually religion plays a big part and they end up killing each other anyhow. So, I mean, people, religious fanatics, you never know what they're going to do. Watch out, because when the shit hits the fan, they all kill each other anyhow. Well, I used to love them. Look at the Serbs and the Muslims that they killed each other back and forth. I mean, they used to live side by side with no problem at all. Same way before they started up this bandit state of Israel. The Jews were all over the Middle East and they lived in pretty much peacefully. The idea that they're always warring and killing each other is not true. Only with the intercession of Capitalista America and the kikes from New York that things start going to hell, man. That's the way it goes. And the Mormons, I forgot about them. Campbell, a political scientist at the University of Notre Dame, said he was particularly struck that Pew found, quote, there hasn't been any real change in views on Mormons in spite of the hit Broadway play The Book of Mormon and Mitt Romney's presidential campaign and all the attention to the so-called Mormon moment. Yeah, most Christians, they look squinty-eyed at those Mormons, man. Yeah, they do. And the Mormons look back with squinty eyes at them, too. Well, you know the old story about the Mormon elders when they said, we don't care how you bring them, just bring them young, when they're talking about the girls. Well, that's it, boys and girls. I'm out of here, man. 14-5. I'll be back tomorrow if they don't come in the little white coats to take me away. If I haven't offended you today, you call back tomorrow. I'll do my best. Ha, 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 ha.